Right. We're looking at funny things we Christians say. Amen. 7 Peter 3. So we're looking at funny things we Christians say. We can't say Christians say because we are all Christians. We're Christian, let me see your hands. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Right. 7 Peter 3, verse 18. I gave you the last statement Peter gave as an instruction to the church. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. Of course, the word "and" there is not combining two things. Oftentimes when you use the word "and" in English, it's oftentimes when you are trying to combine two things, right? So Sade and Kule went to the market. Or Toba and Thomas went to school. So you say "and" is conjunction, right? But it's not like that in the scriptures. Sometimes when you see the word "and," listen very well, he's explaining it. It's not conjuncting, he's explaining. So if you look at that, I say, but grow in grace. And it says, and in the knowledge. Now, it's not two things, it is one thing. For example, in Ephesians 1, when Paul will say, Ephesians 1 verse 1, puts something in 2 Peter 3, 18, we're going to come back there. But in Ephesians 1, how Paul explains, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we read verse 3 together? Blessed be the God and the Father. Right, look at that. Now, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are those two people, or is explaining God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Right? So when you see "and" there, it's not, oh, blessed be God. And then there's a Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed be two of them. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying blessed be God. That is the word Kai in the Greek. K-A-I, not Abbot. Alright? Is the word Kai in the Greek. That is. So blessed be God. That is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us with us? So sometimes when you see "and," you need to look at it in context and look at, is it conjunction or is it explanation? Is it making sense? That's what a good student of the Bible will do. So when Paul says grow in grace and in the knowledge, he's not asking you to grow in two things. So by saying grow in grace, he's telling you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the same use in when he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. You some say the sweet fellowship. You know, funny things we Christians say. The sweet fellowship, as though there's a bitter fellowship of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like sweet. I remember the time I corrected my dad. There's nothing like sweet fellowship. And the sweet, the point is that the sweet that has the emphasis. Not even the Holy Ghost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God. And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost. With us now, there's no sweet fellowship, there's no bitter fellowship, there's the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, and he's talking about one thing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. What is grace? Grace is charis, that is the giving, the unconditional, unprovoked giving of our Lord Jesus Christ shows us the love of God. So that verse is basically is explaining John 3:16. The grace of for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Alright? So how do we know that God loved the world? In his grace. In his giving. We now know that God's love is shown. So when Paul will now come and say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, he's not explaining two things. He's saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is shown. That is, the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ shows the love of God. And it's true that we have the fellowship of the Spirit. So sometimes "and" is not conjunction. "And" is explaining. Alright? So go back to 2 Peter 3:18. So it says, but grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Alright? Before that, you observe that in verse 16. 2 Peter now. As in verse 15. Say, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, in all his epistles, speaking unto them the things which some things are hard to be understood, which the unlearned and the unstable rest. They wrestle against as they do with other scriptures on their own destruction. Can we read verse 17 together and 18 now? You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But what? Grow in grace. Stop. Now, that makes sense. So it says, there is something as the unlearned, and they fight the scriptures. He says, because they fight the scriptures, they fall from steadfastness. That's it, but you are going to grow in grace. So Paul shows you two states that a man can be in. It's either the man is growing in grace, which would be to grow in knowledge, or he is falling from steadfastness. Oftentimes what you hear people say is, I'm not growing, but I know I'm not falling down. No, there's nothing like that. If you're not growing in grace, you're not on one spot. There's nothing like, I might not be growing, but I'm not falling. I'm not backsliding. No. The moment you're not growing, you are not growing. It's either you're growing or you're falling from steadfastness. I will not fall from steadfastness. Alright, so Peter says, grow in knowledge. Knowledge is too vital to the faith. I showed you on Sunday that upon salvation, the next thing God wants for every man is to know. So it is the will of God that every man will know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 4. Say, first of all, let prayers be made for kings and for those who are in authority. Supplications, prayer, intercessions, thanksgiving. He said, for God will have all men to be saved and comes to the knowledge of the truth. So what's God's will? He will have all men to be saved. Firstly, God wants every man saved. Every man. Every man. Every man in the world, in the whole wide world. God wants everyone to be saved. The second thing is that when they are saved, God wants every man to know. When you get born again, God doesn't give you money. What God gives you is not money. What God gives you is not even a sound out. So what God gives you is the word of God. The word of God in your spirit. That's what he gives you. The word of God in your spirit produces the gifts of healing. Gives you the knowledge of what God has now done in Christ. So again, knowledge is too vital. Over and over again, we see God telling Israel, you will know me. I want you to know me. You see that in Exodus 6? Learn something. Exodus 6, verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. That brings you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You will know that I am the Lord your God. So what did God want Israel to experience about him? It's not his miracles. What God wants Israel to experience about him was not the healings. It was not the serpents. It was to know him. To know him as what? As the Lord God. Sometimes the things we believe to are the height of the faith. I've told you before, spiritual maturity is not in miracles. It's not fine. Miracles are beautiful. In fact, don't let anybody talk down on miracles. Anybody that talks down on miracles, healings, the gift of faith, the power gifts, is not a serious Christian. The Christian faith was built on the miraculous, on the supernatural. The virgin birth, the Spirit of God indwelling, is built on the supernatural. So you cannot brush aside the supernatural. Albeit, the height of the faith is not in performing miracles. Judas healed the sick. Maybe you want me to say it again. Judas healed the sick. Judas cast out demons. Yet, Judas was a baby. So again, the height will be knowledge. Knowing God properly. That's when you say, this person is growing in the faith. And the knowledge is going to overshadow your decisions. It's going to overshadow, very importantly, your emotions. How you know a man is growing in the faith is that he has his or her emotions under perfect control by the word. Meaning, the times I feel so down. But you know what? The word of God just puts me over. I know how to turn to the word. Is it making sense? So again, knowledge shows us growth. So Peter says, grow in grace. That is, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So he said, God wants you to know. Look at in Isaiah 45. That's what he said. God wants you to know. To know him well. You have a song. To know you more is all I see. And that was the song. To know you more is all I see. To know you more. To know you more. Is all I see. To know you more. To know you more. Is all. Day after day. Day after day. I want to see clearly in your word. Year after year. Year after year.
I want to do better in teaching your word day after day. I want to grow in the knowledge of your son. The knowledge of your word is all I see. Knowledge of your word. The knowledge of your word is all.
What a song. Day after day, year after year, I want to grow in the knowledge of the son. What a song. Right? That must be the believer's test. Isaiah 45, verse 2 says, I will go before you, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunders the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. This is what everybody likes. That you may know that I have the Lord, which call you by the name, I am the God of Israel. Says, after giving you everything, what it will bring you is to a place of knowledge. Knowledge is how we'll know God. We need to know God. So every year, you must set out to be hungrier. You know, in some circles, we could have just been complacent and, you know, how do I call it now? Satisfied. I remember last year, the teaching we were going to start on Sunday last year, I started looking at it again. You know, and when I set out, really, I didn't set out to, but I just saw something. I said, there's something about tongues that we should pursue again. Imagine talking about tongues after many, this grows out church. By God's grace, we speak in tongues. Amen. Very well. We don't speak very well. Should we speak it very well? You know, and then we are still saying, we want to take another look at tongues. You know. I'm tempted to go back to Galatians. We just finished Galatians. We taught Galatians for 3 years. Was it two? 2 years. So we taught a teaching for 2 years every Sunday. And I want to take another look at Galatians again. Because you must keep that hunger. Who told you have seen everything? You've not. Who told you you've heard everything? You've not. And that's something I said, God told me. He said, I've known you for a while. What was it? Why? Why was it about 3 years and 4 years? I've known you for a while now. I think I know all your teachings. I know it's just, when we just start, we just go to the prophets. Yeah, from the prophets, we'll go back to Matthew 28. So I know everything. So now, I just want to start fellowship. Personally, I don't stop anybody. I didn't call anybody. I didn't stop anybody. Barak know they move. Amen. But I say, Barak know they move. But what was funny was that, he said he has an idea of everything. Of what? What's everything? You know, there are some things I look at, especially some of your leaders. Right? I know there's something I've not touched at all. And personally, I'm still growing. You know, in 25 years again, I will still come back to you and say, let's take another look at tongues. It's chapter 16. Another look at tongues. And you say, what else are we looking at tongues again after how many years? Because God wants us to keep knowing. Imagine Paul, after many years, I'm still pressing on towards the calling of the Lord Jesus to know. See, all things I count as dung for the knowledge of Christ. This is a man who has gotten all of Asia. This is a man who has started church in Ephesus, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus. He had Pastor Timothy, Philemon, Titus, Onesimus, Peter knows him. He had worked with Barnabas, he had worked with Mark. Then he says, that I may know him. I thought Paul, you already know him. No, we keep knowing. We keep knowing. Look at Ezekiel chapter 45. So knowledge is the height of the Christian faith. To know and be known. Says, some will say, we have cast out devils in your name. We work miracles in your name. I don't know you. And you don't know me. So I want to know you more. Ezekiel, that's Ezekiel 45. No, that was Isaiah 45. Ezekiel 11. That's 11. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall you be the flesh in the midst thereof. But I will judge you in the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That I am the Lord. For you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have not done the manner of things, the heathen that are round about you. We still come back to this. But God is saying, you've not done what I asked you to do. You will know that I am the Lord. Again, that's not a threat. that is the correct way. He's telling them, I will show you the correct way. The correct way is not to walk in the steps of the heathen, of the sinners. No. I will show you the way of the Lord. But look at Ezekiel 39, verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forth. The house of Israel shall. So what God wanted to give Israel was to know him. That was the same thing that was in the mind of Jesus. Upon the resurrection, imagine someone just rose from the dead. The next thing is not a party. Resurrection party. Oji oku asisin oji jakadi nisare ogba kokoro lowo iku egbe igi mi nije is alive Jesus is alive forever is alive. That's time to bring out the tambourines and the drums and the everything and the saxophones. Is alive, pam pam. And you just say, I know he's alive. We are going to have a teaching meeting. This Jesus and teaching. Okay, it's a celebrated teaching. You want to talk about victory over the devil. Victory over the devil day one. Victory over the devil day two. Victory over the devil day three. Four, five, six. And he taught for 40 days. So, if you want to know the things that are important to God, you look at Jesus. Knowledge. How can someone teach for 40 days? He said, concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Paul taught so much that someone fell from the window and died, Eutychus. And they raised him from the dead and they continued teaching. You know, you'll say, that's a sign. That's a sign that we should, you know, just temper things small. We taught so much that day that someone died. They now continue teaching. You know, if it's, you know, they will put the bad pastor on Insta blog and say, pastor unempathetic. I'll be out there police now. Robotic pastor continues preaching after someone died. Check comments. Now why I know they go to church? Or this pastor, he wants to collect offering, Abby. No. God wants us to know more. Jesus said, upon the resurrection, Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, go into the world and teach all nations. Teach all nations. So, imagine, they would have thought, go into the world and show my victory. Just. No, he said, go and teach. Meaning, what does God want to give the world today? The knowledge of his son. There's no greater present than to know God. Than to know God. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe what things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So I want to know God more. Learn something. So teaching them. So the church has the work of teaching, and vehemently so. We need to teach more. We must not get to a place where we now resort to the world to get knowledge of who God is. The church is not a place where we now exhibit carnal knowledge from the world. No. We must not take our practice of faith from the world. The source of our knowledge is from God's word. Say with me, the source of our knowledge. Hey, say the source of our knowledge is from God's word. Yeah, that's true. That's 1 Timothy 3. But if I tarry long, that thou may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church of the living God. I remember there was a year, I taught this almost for like a year. Right? How you ought to behave yourself. The church, 1 Timothy 3:15, yeah. The pillar and the ground of truth. So he calls the church the ground of truth. Where God's word, where God's truth is taught. So we must not get to a point or a place where we now forget that the church is where God's truth exists. I'm going to show you some things. Because it's quite important. Now some things appear simple to you, but it will make sense later. Make sense later. Look at Luke chapter 1. Look at Luke chapter 1. Yeah, that's a rhyme. I like that one. Look at Luke. Let's take a look at Luke. I was actually praying for another teaching. When I saw this and made sense for this teaching. Luke 1. Are you ready? So I'll read from verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand, set forth an order of declaration of the things which are most surely believed among us. So look, forget all English. He's saying Theophilus, he wrote to Theophilus. Or he's writing to Theophilus and he says, I want to let you know the things that
the origin of the things that are commonly believed among us. Who are yours? Believers. Even as they are delivered, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things, that from the very first to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus. Look at what he said. He's saying, the things that come, look up, the things that commonly believed among us, we got it from the eyewitnesses of the word. Now, me fully understanding them, I'm writing to you. It shows you that, now, was it only the 12 that Luke could have gotten accounts from? No. The Pharisees existed. The Sadducees existed. There were others who could have just told him about Jesus. Jesus was not seen by the 12 alone. He was seen by 500. He was seen by thousands. The soldiers saw him. Zacchaeus saw him. Those who work with Zacchaeus saw him. Amen. Demons saw him. Different people saw him. But Luke is saying, the things that are commonly believed among us must be taken from those he sent. We must not get to a place where what we practice and believe in the church is gotten from the world. No. And we must also not get to a place where we don't understand what we are saying. And yet we keep so talking it. Because it's going to ask you. Don't forget, every idle word that men speak, they will give account on their judgment. Amen? So Luke gives us the protocol of the Christian faith. How things ought to be done. How things ought to be said. He said, the things that are believed among us are not, they are not rumors. The things that are believed among us, the things that are doctrinal to us now, they are not things, they are not ESAs. They are not, you know, funny things that Christians say. No, they are things that are verified and taught by the Lord Jesus himself, by those who are eyewitnesses of the word. The ministers of the word. Is it making sense? So he didn't take it from the Pharisees. If he took it from the Pharisees, you know, today we'll be wondering what being born again means. Nicodemus. Imagine Luke went to Nicodemus, not being saved, because he was eventually saved. But imagine went to Nicodemus, not being saved. I said, tell me about Jesus that you met him. I said, weird guy. So Luke chapter 1 verse 3. Weird guy. He was talking something about wind and water. I think what he's saying that those who believe in him will be like wind. They will talk like wind. So what happens? Next time you read Luke chapter 3 verse 7, we talk like wind. So we come to church and do, whatever, however wind sounds. He also said something about water. So instead of singing psalms, we just play the sound of water. Why? Because he took his account from the Pharisees. No, he took it from the witnesses of the word, the ministers of the word. If he took it from the Pharisees, we will still be finding divorce today. Imagine he came to him, Matthew 19. Is it good? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Moses told us to do so. It's not like he wants to put away our wife. So I don't even like putting away my wife. There's some people after 10 years of marriage, if they give them opportunity and say, okay, God asked you to take a break, legal break, God is okay with it for 3 years and ask you to choose. You can choose another person. Now we still choose the same person. I remember, I think it was it Bray again that asked? Who was Bray again? It was relationship and life seminar. So, God is okay with it. 5 years. You see how people run. How did he say? He said, they will run like they're chased by cops. they will run from that marriage. But that's not what we're talking about. So the Pharisees came and said, is it lawful to put away our wives? Jesus said, no, from the beginning. So look at how Jesus addressed the issue of divorce. He took it away from physical marriage and says, the origin that God wants was what? Eh? Man in Christ. Abi? We thought that one, oh. Amen. That is, why would he say in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall become one flesh. Paul now comes and tells us that's about who? Christ and the church. Ephesians 5. So look at how ministers of the word presented it. Look at how the Pharisees presented it. Did Moses not give a writing of divorcement? Paul says no. He spoke about Christ and the church. Same Moses. He spoke about Christ and the church. So again, Luke comes to 4. Those who are ministers of the word are the ones that gave us what we believe now. So the church must not get to a place where we believe something because it's common, it's trending. Where we believe something because is the order of the day everywhere.
No.
We get it from God's word.
Does that make sense to you?
Come on, does that make sense to you?
Alright, so we're looking at funny things that we Christians say. Now, we don't say it here. But in case you say it or it exists in your mind, this teaching is to correct that.
Don't forget, the God's word brings correction. 2 Timothy 3:16. Brings correction.
Oftentimes when we say funny things, I just said funny things because I didn't want to say stupid things. Normally I would have said stupid things. A younger version of myself would say, I would have said stupid things. But now, I'm scared. That will not throw me. You know, you cannot throw someone that doesn't have account on Twitter. I have account, but I can close it. I don't have any follower. I'm not following anybody. Amen. So how do you want to throw me? You want to trend me? My Instagram, I know they use them. If you are following, I think I have over 1,000 requests. And I'm not going to accept it till Jesus comes. Except I now see that this is someone I fancy. I don't want you to read what I'm posting. I don't want to post anything. And I don't want to see your own. If you like, block me too. Amen. I know what I'm doing there. I know the accounts I want to read. It's for news and some other things. So you cannot throw me. But so it's not really funny things Christians say. It's actually stupid things. Because when you look at it, like the one we look at on Sunday, where someone was saying, and we said it's not just this generation. We said even in the scriptures, we saw Judas in Matthew 26, where the woman who had the alabaster box brought a box and then splashed, gave everything to Jesus. No, no. And Judas said, why are they wasting the oil? Why are they wasting? Why are they wasting it? We can give it to the poor. Have you not heard that before? You see a pastor in his jet or in a very expensive car say, how many people are poor in the church? This is what pastors do now. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what Jesus did? Is that what Jesus said we should be pastoring? Don't worry, you come. Since you know how Jesus asked us to be pastoring, and you are very good at it, come and show everybody in the world how pastoring ought to be done. You see them. They are the ones that will quit after 1 week. By the time the devil gets a hold of them. God knows it's not a motivational speech. He's not a motivational speaker. It's in his signature. Pastor. Pastor's in his logo. You are now a motivational speaker. You are no longer a pastor. You can't brand pastor. It's too wrong. Hallelujah. So, Judah said, how are they wasting the oil? And you've seen people, there was a time like that. I think it was Pastor Debo, he bought a jet. They bought a jet for him, actually. I don't know who the person was, but the person got a jet. The church got a jet from him. And see, people are shouting, jet! I think it was Baba Debo. Jet! Why? No, in this poor country, not many poor people can be fed with that jet. Is he the president of the country? How many poor people can we feed? Mr. Feeder. Feeder's team. How many poor people have you fed in your life? The funny thing is that those who say it, some say, Pastor, you are defending pastors. Of course. The same way I would defend every believer in Christ. The same way I would defend the church of God. I will never side with the word. I don't care. You know something about you can beat your younger brother, but no one else can. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. If you have a younger brother, let me see your hands. Okay, good. You have beaten them before. Have you not seen someone else beating the person before? You say, okay. You stop that. Then the two of you, they say, Kemi, you are beating him. Your brother say, Bami no more, me, no more. Let me just say, that pastor, you start to put the Cartesian. Meaning that, if someone says, beat my child for me, let me help me beat my child. Say, as this person saying it, it's actually not sitting well with the person. As you are beating the child, you say, and if you employ someone like me to help you beat your child, I will ensure that you will never make that request again. It's okay. Have you seen parents going to fight teachers in school for beating their children? But they beat their children. Alright? So, that's the issue. When we get inside the church, we settle it. But when it's we against the world, I will never side with the world. It's not possible. It's not possible. You just say those who are not against us are with us. Amen. So when someone intentionally comes against you, I will stand against them. Regardless.
Amen. We are not in the position to judge the church or to judge pastors. We are in the positions to receive from them. And then God is the one who is going to judge. Is that okay? Alright. So we see things like giving to pastors. Things like honor. So why we call, why would you tell your, say your pastor is the best pastor in the world? What should I say? He's the worst. I don't understand what you want me to say exactly. Sometimes some things don't make sense. It's funny. Because you called your mother the best mother in the world last Mother's Day. Even though there are like 4 Mother's Day, 5 Mother's Day. But the latest one, you called your mother the best mother in the world. Everybody calls their mother the best mother in the world. And I've seen some mothers. Amen. Amen. I've met some mothers and I say, there was one I met, I think I sent on Sunday, I don't know if I sent on Sunday. I'm going to collect something from a paper like that, a document. Mom was just delaying me and all that. I said, your son will be telling you you are the best mother in the world like this. Mother's Day. And she laughed. Yours might not be laughter. You might tear your document. But she just laughed and said, you know, because I was wondering, why would you cannot be the best mother in the world, number one. I know, with what you have just shown me, you're not better than my mom. So let's start with that. You're not the best mother in the world. But you call your mom the best mother in the world. You see their faults, you see their frailties, you see their weaknesses, and yet you still go ahead and say, this is the best father in the world. Then, when it comes to pastor, say, no, he's only human after all. Shut up. What are you, angel? The people who wrote the Bible, what are they? Spirit. They're humans. The Bible you're reading. Say, I can never listen to any pastor. I go to God's word for myself. The God's word that you go to for yourself, who wrote it? Humans. Humans who are their weaknesses. A Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. I've not denied Jesus 3 times. By God's grace. Amen. Of course, I was not in the shoe where he was. But I've not denied Jesus 3 times. Peter did 3 times. I'm just telling God. I'm just reminding God. Amen. 3 times. Paul killed Christians. Not Christian. Not 2 Christians. Not 3 Christians. If he's opening folder, he opened folders. Christian in Ephesus. He killed Christians. I've not killed any Christian before. So, if you would sit down and read Paul, 13 books of Paul who killed Christians, you have no right to say someone is human. God uses men. Amen. Learn something? So, we look at what is now the biblical prescription of dealing with our pastors or dealing with everyone God has put in charge of us. Alright? Then we look at 1 Thessalonians 3. Was it 2 Thessalonians 3 or 1 Thessalonians 5? 1 Thessalonians 5. Yeah, it was 1 Thessalonians 5. No, your notes not yet. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, we look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. We look at Galatians 6, 6. We look at 1 Corinthians 11, 19. Is there another one? Eh? Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Alright, so again, we have seen all of that the last time. So, funny things that we Christians say. Let's still continue on the pastor's edition. The message is meant to relate to my life. You are a selfish person. Because yourself, you know your life, how it is. If the message is related to your life, what will relate to others' life? God's word is not like that. Jesus is not relate, his message is not related with everybody. He taught from the scriptures. Now, I know, so it's not meant to be like that. Now, are there times where God's word is taught and then, have I heard people, if I had a dollar for every time someone comes to me and said, it was like you were talking to me, I'd probably be on Forbes list. It was like you were talking to my heart like this. But I never had in mind. In fact, you're actually very proud to think that I would be thinking about you in preparing for a sermon. You rate yourself. Oh. Nah. It's not like, when you're not the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I was saying, because I told Pastor something about my situation. He was now talking about me. Me. Moi. Talk about you. When? You see, yeah, your situation. By privilege, probably have 50 more situations in every week. If you have to talk about, talk to everybody's situation. Every message will be 5 hours long. I'll just start. Ahem. You know, in life, take things slow. Then, as I'm done with taking slow, in life, you must learn to take things fast too. Because another person's situation means that you should be fast. Your own situation is that you take things slow. Another person is that you take things fast. So in life, take things slow. Patience is required. It's a fruit of the spirit. Also in life, you must learn to do things at the right time. Fast. If you have to do it now, do it now. Pastor, take this slow or do it now. Because we cannot relate to situations. So you have to teach God's word. What is God's word? Follow the leading of the Spirit. How about that one? So, that nonsense of the message is meant to relate with me. You know, the funny thing is that what you are looking for, you will find. Hey, I found one pastor like that on Twitter. I found one pastor like that on IG. His message relates to me. Now, there's a pastor like that. I saw a comment. A Muslim said, even though I'm a Muslim, I love your teachings. I said, this will never happen to me in Jesus' name. What kind of compliment is that one? That's a stupid, stupid compliment. That's an insult. Say, even though I'm a Muslim, that's telling you that, oh, did change life me, oh. Even though I'm a Muslim, I love his teachings. Any pastor that smiles at that does not know what the devil is doing to you. Say, we just love my teachings all around the world. Including Muslims, and they're not saved. It's like a babala who comes to you and say, ha! Musi badun, mo badun wa asubure. Oh, he goes in badun tea. Say, Baba, that's what I say, bye. Ah, say, Fugini. No, you cannot enjoy teaching. It must be changing your life. Amen. So that you stop that nonsense, exactly. Expecting every teaching to be. So you learn. Whatever is taught, you learn it. And when it's time to apply it, you take it serious. So the man of God must never play to trends. This is the church I'll be attending now. Everything he says that is just related to it. Why? Because talking about politics. And I say, you know, we must listen to the youth. That's the easiest thing to say. If I want to please the youth, all I say, we must listen to the youth. The youth have a voice. There will be a day they will stand up. And every power that opposes the youth will sit down. Because the youth is a strength. The scripture says, the glory of the youth is in their strength. And when strength meets, you know, you start saying, I like this pastor. And I say, one day we will stand up with one voice in this country. Put strings on that for me. One day we'll stand up with this one voice in this country. Just like Mandela. Just, not like Paulo. Just like Mandela. Just like Manduku. Most like, Mandubusi. And we are going to say enough is enough. Listen to me, Nigeria. Listen to me, Nigeria. Change is coming. Say, you're a South Church. Say, I love this pastor. He loves the nation. It's trending. When people are suffering, that's the best thing to say. The youth, who is on Instagram? The Instagram that you posted it. Who is on this place? My dad is not on Instagram. I know that one for sure. Is your dad on Instagram? Is your dad on Instagram? I leave. I use Facebook to connect with friends. Is your dad on Instagram? You're not even on Facebook. Your dad on Instagram. Your dad's on Instagram. Wow. Jenke. My Jenke. That's good though. You don't know what God has done for you. I mean, you can share reels. Your dad can share reels. Alright. So this is the church I'll be attending now. No. So we have to act like them to win them over. Funny things Christians say. If we don't act like them, he said, scripture and verse. Paul says, when I'm in Roman, behave like a Roman. Alpha. You are not a pastor again, you are an alpha. Is it the way you are doing Bible? Like a butter. You have broken the word. You know, pastor, when I'm in Roman, I believe like a Roman. Abba, go and read the context. Say, no. The Bible never says you have to like act like the world to win the souls. Say, hey, but Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Did you see Jesus go to the Pharisees' meeting? Did you see Jesus wear what they wore? Read what they read? No. How did he reach out to them? He reached out to them with the gospel. The church cannot be using skits as evangelism. This is not an attack on anybody. I don't have anybody's time. Those who are close to me know, the leaders know, I don't read any church, anything. I don't look at what anybody's doing as their program. I don't have anybody's program in mind. I don't follow anybody. No, I follow Pastor Christian, I think. I mean, I don't follow any church program or say, oh, this is what they are practicing here. So don't think I have anybody in mind. Chances are I don't know what they are doing in their church. And I don't want to know. By the Holy Ghost. We have enough leading here. Amen. Enough. Now we know what God is saying. Amen. Part time, we know what God is saying. We know what God wants us to do. We are confident. Amen. You can't use skits as evangelism. where your evangelism ends on Instagram or Facebook. Hi guys, I just want to tell you about the Glorious House Church. It's a church like a family. When you come to church, you're welcome home. And that's what every member will now start posting. Tag your friends. See you in church tomorrow. Ciao. You will not go and preach. No discipleship. No follow-up. No prayer. Ciao. So-so. I mean, XOXO. I feel like I'm not playing. So-so. So what's the meaning of that thing? I've seen it many times before. Oh, it means hugs and kisses. Ah! People used to send it to me. I'm serious. He said it. Today is the first time I'm hearing it. So-so. You have seen it before? So-so. Hugs and kisses. I'm going to be looking at all the men that have so-so. Ah, I'm going to tell them, ah, please don't send me hugs and kisses. They say, ah, I just don't know. Hey, wait. Thank God though. Thank God that you don't follow trends. If I follow trends, I'll have used it. Many I just say Instagram easy. So-so. Go for outreach. So-so. Have you followed up your disciples today? So-so. I'm managing also. I didn't know at all. How many of you did not notice today? Let me see. See, you have taught me. Knowledge. Amen. So you cannot make skits. Or the media, now, because we're in the media frenzy age, that's how you now do your evangelism. No, you still eat the streets. You still carry your Bible. The same thing that makes people not carry Bible again, and then use phone. Open to Galatians. There's nothing bad in it. You have Galatians. I have the Bible app on my phone. Bible apps. But ask me if I want to study, I will carry app. App. Your study itself will show that it's media doctrine. Nah, you can't do that. God gave you his word. Cherish it. We cannot do... we cannot act like the world. So you see, we now put fair ladies as ushers. You now stand at the gate, at the temple gate, like a leper. I was invited to preach on campus. When I was on campus, so it was a fellowship, it was another fellowship. The truth is, I don't know how they do their things. That was the first time I was invited. So we were having a program at Old Great Hall. The one that comes as Old Great Hall or New Great Hall. Sorry, I'm starting to mix it up. So I had a very big program. I know that. So I was one of the people that was going to teach. It was a 3-day program. It was a privilege, big privilege. And I got to the entrance. I saw fair ladies. I thought, is it marrying? Sorry, is it my spirit kingdom? I don't know what was happening again. The dressing and everything, I said, Jesus. I was already changing my message. I was already changing my message. First and first came to my mind is to reject the... I was very... I'm changed now. I was going to just stop. I would turn back and go back to the hostel. But I said, that's not good. That's not too wise. And all that. So I said, next thing, what's the next option? To change everything for them now. I will change the entire message. Fair ladies. Oh, you're welcome. Abike. Welcome. Where did that accent come from? Is your Moibo? Welcome. You know, talk well. why? It will help. Someone said, if you want to publish a book, told me some years ago, if you want to publish a book, ensure that it's a female that is at the front cover. That female sells book. I'm serious. Where has the church gotten to? Why are we acting like the world? If you're talking, must be fine, girl. If it's dark, it must be dark and shine. You know, dark and shine. That is ebony Africa. That is fine, girl. It's fair. It must be fair like the sun. I should put that in front of the book. I said, no. Can't we just download picture. Say, nah, you cannot sell like the way a woman will sell. That's not God's plan for the church. God did not ask us to act like the world. Mm-mm. He asked us to be light in dark places. To be light. So you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. So you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it is thrown outside. You will not be thrown outside. You will not lose your flavor. Because it's salt that's trying to act like everybody will no longer be salt. Can't act like the world. You see that old-fashioned gospel where you carry your Bible and you go to people's houses to teach them and you pray for them and you fellowship with them. That's God's plan. You look, say, no, pastor, it's 2024, poor. You want to pour? I pour the Spirit on you. Pastor, no. If I carry my ring light. When has ring light become a tool of evangelism? It's not. Oh, I carry my ring light to put some makeup, pastor. Purr. That's some period. Next thing. 2 Peter 3:18, guys. Tap, tap, tap. Nah, carry your Bible and go and preach. You are a minister of the gospel. Amen. Carry your Bible. Funny things, Christians say. We have to act like them. If we don't act like them, we will not win them over. A church has already created a club. Say, no, we play only gospel song. If you like, play tongues. Now everything that we just hear is tongues. The foundation is destroyed. Amen. The foundation is wrong. So that our members will not go to club. You are not asking the real questions. Your members are going to club. That's the primary problem. The thing is not even where the solution you are trying to profile. The solution is that the people you got saved, we are not sure whether they are saved. Amen. If you cannot correct and instruct by God's word to change the life of a person, but to now go and create a replica of what the person is doing, what are you doing? Create a club. Say, no, it will still be in the night too, but it's just Frank Edwards. Mm-mm. You know, don't play with Frank Edwards. Play Michael Jackson. It'll just be, Edima, the club. From Edima, you start hearing some songs. Songs that you hear in church, that you're shaking your head. There was one we were singing last week, so remind me. I was saying, this is basically a worldly song. I wrote it down. I wrote one line down. Tebi bank pa mi, Jesu ni bread of life. Mafo, Jesu eternal life. I don't know what to say. I don't want to say this nonsense. If you want Jesus the bread of life, over there, Jesus. You know the funny thing? I don't believe I say, Jesus the bread of life. Mafo, Jesus eternal life. You are enjoying it. If you want to listen, what's the name of that musician? The real one Naira Marley. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. If you want to listen to him with your chest. Don't bring Jesus in. Which one is Jesus in the bread of life? Say, faith is a current. Faith is a currency where you are starting to cash out. Are you serious? And that's the gospel song that they went to. That club, that's where it's now eventually go to. From there, then I say, is the seed the same tone? Nobody will know. Before you know it, you enter the real organ of the top. We can't afford to be like the world. We were called to change the world. In the name of Jesus, you will not lose your flavor. Yeah. It's a subtle faith. It's a slow faith. People don't know when they get into it. It starts with a subtle compromise. You know what? We don't have to do this. Hey, it's not actually that bad. No, it is that bad. That's why we have Christians who can afford to do nonsense. And the next thing, they're tying scarves, they're going to church. What kind of life are you? What kind of Christian are you? Don't lose your flavor. When you do the bad things, you should know that this is bad. That's the first stage. The moment that you do a wrong thing and you don't know that this is wrong, that's leprosy. I told you the first sign of a leper is that he is burning. The cells are dying. The skin is dying. And doesn't know. Well, Jesus, when I put my hands on fire, let it burn. Amen. Not that I put my hands on fire. They're bad. That's the devil dealing with you softly. Our music must not bend. What was I in the office? And I was saying, there are some songs I don't like. He played one song like that. It was on Valentine's Day. When I got to the office, balloons and all of that, and then, you are playing song. Amam. I said, oh, yeah, play me song now. Play me this, there's this, this nice song, guys, right? It's not gospel. And I said, play for me, Kinikon Lokumba. I said, play it. It's nice.
He says, he did not play another one after that one. I said, I did not send you to play this one. He says, it's gospel. I said, I prefer that one over this nonsense. I said, I don't like, he said, Pastor, you don't like him. I don't like him. He said, can Christians say I don't like him? I said, mark my words, this is it. Go and put me everywhere. I don't like him. Let him come like this. I don't like him. This one, I don't like him. He said, why? I said, I'm going to explain someone I don't like. I don't like him. Hear what he's saying. I said, you Ferrari, Lord. And the spirit is upon you. Are you are dumb. I said, quote me anywhere. Can't tag him in this teaching. You are running a Ferrari because the spirit was upon you. People know Salo. Is that who the kind of stupid run you are meant to be running? Father, is a metaphorical. Both of you get out. The truth is a subtle spirit. It's a subtle spirit trying to be like the world. We are not like the world. You sang that song today. I'm not a part of the world. He has rescued you from the world. Why are you trying to be like it? He says in Romans 12, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. This world has a pattern. This world has a pattern. This world has a structure. Everybody feels like this is what it's selling. In fact, there's someone told me that, he said, that your sermons are too long. Now, if you do sermons for like 25 minutes, now people have short attention span. I said, our members in the name of Jesus, 2017, 7 years ago, our members don't have a short attention span. That was what I said. Yeah, just trying. He said that, mark my words, there's no way you can teach like this consistently for 5 years. We've been doing it for 7 years. If anything, we'll progress it more. Amen. That people cannot listen to someone more than 20 minutes. That, who told you that nonsense? That church be more of engaging activities. That people should fully engage. So what should we do? Of course I'm a pastor. That's why I should come and, do on Sunday morning. Or because we want people to come to our church, we now line up everybody. We want to have their line up. Be out there. Did I give you Mike? Of course, I'm a glorious church member. Of course, we sing in tongues. Our media knew they cannot try that nonsense. Of course, I'm a glorious church member. Of course, you are stupid. Of course, bring your head. Of course, go and pray for hours. Sometimes it's just in your head to reset with prayer. Then you know, am I ever correcting? Prayer forces me to reset that head. There's something that you cannot eat but tongues. Not when you pray, but you say, talk to God. First, one meet God. You know, that's why they give you. Go and pray. You feel her. Why is that Jesus asking you to pray? When someone does not know what to tell you, he has to go and meet God first. Go and meet God. When you meet God for 2 hours, then come. Maybe God will have touched your heart. Because this is your heart, needs God first to first touch it. Any other thing, they just tell you. No, you don't have to do that. Next time, actually, what you should do. But once they start telling you, go and pray. Ah, as you are going, they just be checking your heart. I say, Lord. When they run me, Lord, by God. They're sending me to go and meet God first. Your vision has gone to God first. Of course. Abba. That must not be the way we are winning souls. Of course, of course I listen to JHC. Of course I know that prophet. What's that? If you do it for your natural work, of course I would like it. Of course. I'm a nurse. Of course I give injection. Mm-hmm. I would like it if I see your post. But if you now think that's the way, the people say, that's what people are doing. I want to now tap into it. Don't tap into it. You should be tapping them away from nonsense. Christians, you're joining challenges. You do the many challenges. The challenge now. I want to join. Join challenges. It will be a fantastic barrier. What you want challenges? Quarrel a year, right? Don't join challenges. Stay away from challenges. God warned us in December that we should beware of trends. Remember, I believe it has not even started. Because what I saw was quite so much of a red light. So much of something that we need to press the brakes for. I don't think it has started at all. There will be a time where the church will be so immersed in trends. We must stand our ground. Is that clear? Of course, you must stand your ground. Hallelujah. I had to write it. Of course, I'm a keyboardist. Yes, Sunday school does not concern me. I know some of you must have seen it. You saw it. I realized. You posted it. On church account, posted it. Of course, I'm a keyboardist. I don't have a business with Sunday school. You know, there's just that mentality that people playing instruments, they are not devoted. So once they are done with drums, and that's where some of you grew up. You know, when people are playing keyboard, the piano, and the bass guitar, and once they are done, they go outside. Have you? Till offering time. But you try it now. You know, you know we can do without drums. in case you don't know, you can do that drums and do that keyboard. It's you that is with pain. Me, I will not feel it. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm an instrumentalist. Someone no concern me. If I'm your pastor, I will first ask you to delete that account. You will not open an account on that platform for the next 15 years. Is that not slavery? Of course, you have your right. You have no business with someone. So what are you now doing here? To play. What do you do? I believe that Jesus is working in this church. And the Spirit of God, we have more influence in the church of God. We will not be swept away with the world and its culture. No. We will have the Christian culture, the Bible culture, the world culture in the name of Jesus. We are not of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, funny things we Christians say. Someone must touch me. Must relate to my situation. Play for Master Close. He said all those. Phew. Jesus never related to anybody's situations. Neither did Paul. Paul wrote to an entire church in an entire city. You think he will be related to their situation. To the church in Ephesus. Sorry, when you write to the church in Corinth, especially, how many situations do you want to relate with? I'm not talking about a corrective letter like 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which are letters that were responding to a letter. Alright? So in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are letters that they already wrote a letter to him and he was responding. Right? So when he says, I heard of you, the brother in chapter 5 who slept with his father's wife, the brothers in chapter 6 who were suing themselves to court, in chapter 7 was talking about the married and the married. In chapter 10 and 11 was talking about those who were eating food offered to idols. In chapter 12 was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because those were response to. Chapter 1 was talking about divisions that were among them. In chapter 2 was talking about divisions. In chapter 3 he was talking about how they were not going in the knowledge of the word. And like that. In 2 Corinthians also he did the same thing. Was responding to their letter. That's a different. But when Paul was teaching the church in Corinth and was teaching and preaching just the way he did in Acts 13. At Antioch. You think he was relating to everybody's situation? No, you teach God's word. You see, that is the beginning of heresy. That's the beginning of a false prophet. When you try to meet everybody's needs. You know, there was a trap that myself and my friends almost fell into very early in ministry. I'm talking about 2009, 2010, 2011. And about 9 and 10, very importantly, there was this rave around the gift of the Spirit. And there was a particular pastor that was even brought from Ghana. You know, that was people used to blast the gift of the Spirit and revelation knowledge. And there's a way, there's someone there. You know, and I love that. Paul says, covet spiritual gifts, right? So I loved it. And so every meeting we had, I'll come, and then all of us, we just, you all had gifts. And we're not much. You know, when you have 10 people, 12 people, revelation gifts is harder. You know, it's easier when, remember, but anyway, there's someone here that needs a visa. In that place, they're like 32,000. You know, but when you're 12, so, then I began to see in myself that, the test to keep doing this thing is overriding the test for the word. So even when we did not have anything to say, we are still doing, and you see someone holding mic. I think wait 5 minutes. Already the embarrassment. And then I will be happy. The spirit, you are the spirit, the animal is. You're already looking like the spirit doesn't want to talk to you. So everybody's doing that to you. Oh yeah. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So what will he do? He will find something to say. There's someone here. There's no someone here. You must not have someone here. It's not compulsory that someone is here that you have to talk to. If there's nobody that God is showing you anything, drop the mic. And so, I had to call one of us. I said, something happened to me today. The spirit not telling me anything. And I said something. He said, emoji. He had been thinking about it. That during outreach in the week too, the spirit not telling him anything. And he said, he wants. So we told ourselves, we do not have
to minister all the time. And that, the moment you start encapsulating your ministry around miracles too, and every service there's a miracle. Every service there's a healing. The day that there's no healing, you will start exaggerating it. And start saying, you know, someone that just had eye pain, that's a blind eyes healed. He rotting better. Blind eyes healed. Before you know it, you start staging miracles. Because God did not send you to meet everybody's needs. What did God send you? To teach God's word. That one, you can never grow wrong with it. But you know what? It's not exciting. It's not colorful. But it's the training of the Spirit. You must not get to a place where you are trying to please people. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says the preaching of God's word must meet you at the very point of your need. No. Go and look for all the teachings that meet your situation. Go and listen to them. That's why they are recorded. Amen. That's why Paul said, you pass it to all the churches. The one that he wrote to Corinth said, give it to Laodicea. Let them also read it. Maybe they will find something to learn. Is that clear? Because I might not meet their needs directly. But something I've said before might meet it. Is it making sense? Alright. So don't think that Sunday's teaching must meet your needs. No. If that need is that, is so strong, go and listen to GSC Media, damn it. Amen. What is GSC Media? If that need is so strong, find somewhere in GSC Media that talks about fear. Find somewhere in GSC Media that talks about God meeting your needs. Financial needs. I think there are teachings like that. God wants to take care of you. Ask GSC Media addicts. Who are GSC Media addicts here? Alright. They've raised their hands. So, ask the addicts of GSC Media. They will tell you which one is, they will tell you which page. I remember when I was saying there's something in page 5. I believe that I know which page. Ask them. I'm looking for, maybe I say my need in a baptism. I'm looking for something on baptism. They will tell you. Is that clear? But don't find that, don't be looking for where they must meet your need every Sunday. It will not happen. If it's happening every Sunday, you have a problem. That means the entire word of God is your need. That means you are not saved. That's how I can meet your need every Sunday. Abba. We must act like them to be like, to win them. No. Jesus never acted like Zacchaeus. He acted like the word. He acted like the one that was sent. Never acted like the Pharisees. He never did. Not once. If Jesus wanted to act like them, when he entered the temple where they were buying and selling, he opened shop too. He did not. You know, in the shop, we are not meant to be doing this. I'm just doing this so that you know that it's not like I'm condemning it. No, you are condemning it. Condemn it right away. This is not it. Amen. And someone came to me sometime years ago. I was still on campus. This is what I did. This is. I said, you know, you are very wrong. That's a sin. Say, you are condemning me. What should I tell you? It's not a sin. Oh, you're expecting me to say, I will first say it's a sin. They cannot tell you, but you are the righteousness of God. Now let us marry both together. But what you did is bad. When we are done praying and everything, I was going to say, but what you did is bad, bro. So I'm going to go say, what you did was bad. So I PM now. And it's not so that you win every time you know that you are coming to me. You will know, I'm not the one you can come and dump things and I will just pass here and say, that will be well. You know what? Well, you're not the only one doing it. You are the only one doing it. It's only you. Change. You want to change now. So that means it's only you. Amen. But what are people looking for? Somewhere they were, where we rub their backs. No. Fine. We are his hands. Right? And we heal. You know? We are his body. And we reach out. Nevertheless, the truth of God's word must never bend in our mouth. Must never bend. Must never color it up. Must never soak it with sugar. Or coat it with honey. It must be what it is. The truth. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe that God's Spirit is at work to correct things in His church. Will not be dishonorable. And will not act like judges to pastors. You know, will not call common what God has called sacred. I will not call sacred what God has called casual. You know, God's honor is on our lives. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. We honor more. We honor more. We are no more. We are no more. We are not part of the world. We don't mingle with the world. We are called to stand out like a city on a hill. We are called to stand out
like light in darkness. And that's who we are. The salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. And we are going to add flavor into the lives that we meet. We are not subtly swept away by the wind of this world. No, we stand truth. We stand strong on the rock of God's word. Unshaken, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Can we just pray for ourselves? Sit down. Pray for yourself. I'm not conformed to the pattern of this world. I'm not conformed to the pattern of this world. I'm not conformed to the pattern of this world. I'm not conformed. I'm not conformed. I'm growing in the knowledge of God's word. Every day. Every passing day. My spirit is energized to know God more, to be hungrier for His word, for the move of His spirit. Oh yes, I'm getting better every day. I'm knowing Jesus more. He's showing Himself to me more.